Thank you, Ms. Strickler. I believe we're still at public hearing, and,
Mayor Barr, may I ask a question?
Yes, yes, Ms. DeWitt.
So, and if it's okay, may I ask our city clerk, who could defer to our attorney? But for the listening public, could you describe, so this ordinance would allow the city to make a decision closer to the election about if we need to move to by mail. Could you describe for people who are listening what that process would look like? Like what would happen next to trigger the vote by mail option?
Thank you, Councilmember DeWitt. So I have had meetings with the state's election policy working group. It seems as though the state is going to try to move forward with in-person voting, at least for now. So after meeting with the election policy working group on the state level, I met with my election officials here to make sure that they were going to be comfortable to help with an in-person election. And at this point, they said that they would. I would need additional personnel and additional supplies to facilitate an in-person election. What would trigger me to present a by-mail election to the council is if, one, I was not able to provide a polling place location for the voters, or two, I wasn't able to get enough election officials to present a safe facilitation of election on election day. Those would be my triggers. And I think that I've reached out to LKSD, I've reached out to who is one of our precinct locations. I've reached out to the Cultural Center, who is my one that may not be available, the Cultural Center. LKSD is confirmed. And we are expanding the site locations. If those of you that are familiar with voting at LKSD, you have a bit of a bottleneck when you're entering the boardroom. We're hoping to move the precinct location to another place so we have ingress and egress and have a circulation so you're not passing other people. But again, yes, if I had a precinct location that wasn't available or not enough election officials to facilitate a safe and effective election, I would have to present a by mail election option to you. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Yes, I met. DeWitt. Someone started that.
Enough of that.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Leary.
I'm just repeating for the public or just repeating for anyone listening. So my understanding is that both those two things that City Clerk just mentioned would have to happen in order for it to be brought to the City Council's attention again. And then it would be an ordinance, and there'd be a public hearing or introduction and public hearing. And so there would be a process for public to input, and hopefully folks are listening right now that have concerns that, you know, there would be opportunity for them to be heard and for, you know, for us to really consider the state of things, I guess, because right now it's, you know, we're not sure what's going to be going on in a couple months. So I just wanted to repeat that for anyone listening, that this is an option, and then we still would have to have public hearing, ordinance, and we still have a whole song and dance to do before this would be in effect. So, thanks.
Could it be described for us exactly what that song and dance is? I mean, would it be at least two hearings for the City Council to make that decision?
So that would be up to the City Council. Whether or not they wanted to hold an extra hearing on it. With ordinances now, it just would require one public hearing on it. I recognize the importance of public feedback, especially with elections. It would be my goal to make sure that we have a town hall meeting, an explanation on how to vote, a lot of public outreach and marketing on the provisions for by mail election before we initiated anything. For sure, but again, with an ordinance, it's just one public hearing at this time, and I don't know how much time we would have in advance of that 60 days
right.
to prolong the additional 2 weeks for a public hearing.
That's the problem.
again, I'll restate, I believe we're still in the public hearing.
So I guess that would be another problem I've got, is that the way their law is written now, it only requires one meeting of the council to do it. And I understand there are timelines because it's written that you have to do this 60 days before. So to me, again, that's problematic for me too.
Do you want to clarify that, Lori?
So there would be two council meetings where it would be presented. You would have your introduction and then your public hearing. So it would be the public hearing would just be one opportunity for the public to come and speak, but it would have an introduction. And then 2 weeks later, it would have its public hearing. So it would be in the community for a month in advance of adoption. And again, my office and my election officials would do a significant outreach to the public if we needed to go that route.
Well, I personally trust this city clerk and I trust this city council, but it's not the kind of authority I would want to grant to every imaginable future city council, unless it reworked. Although I was incorrect, so I misheard. So it is two meetings and that's important. Mm-hmm. And the public can always be heard during the introduction. We can pull things off the consent agenda, you know, so that's not an issue for me. But so at least there would be two public hearings, two times people have the opportunity to speak to council. Okay.
Great discussion. Very insightful. So, were we still at the public hearing or
we got a motion to adopt on the floor right now.
Okay, got it. So there's a motion on the floor to adopt 20-13. Roll call, please.
You want to speak under public hearing?
Public hearing.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, we'll just spend the rules and go back to public hearing on ordinance
20-13.
20-13.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Second by Ms. Leary. All those in favor of suspending the rules to allow Ms. Nenup to come on up and speak on people to be heard, indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Ms. Nenup, you want to come on up? Could you?
The purpose of.
Ms. Nenup, could you state your name and spell your name?
My name is Mary Nenup, M-E-R-Y-N-E-N-U-W-N-K. The purpose of a public hearing is not to persuade voters to vote to how you want to vote. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to listen to your constituents and do what they want to do. Again, I say that there are a lot of so-called honest people, and I've had problems with voting where I'm nonpartisan, where when I go to vote,
they won't be able to hear you, Mary, if you don't talk into the microphone. I know it's a
position. Where when I go to vote, I'm told that you can only vote if you're a Democrat. And nobody tells me that. That's not your purpose. Because there are so many honest people all over the world, very trusting-looking individuals who will use you to vote to how they want things to be done. And that's not right. Your purpose, everyone's purpose, is to listen to what the constituents want. Period. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nenup. So I'm going to close back the public hearing and go back to the main motion of adopting ordinance 20-13. And roll call vote, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember Stringer?
Yes.
Councilmember Vega?
Yes.
Councilmember Diamond?
No.
Councilmember Harris Franco? Council, Vice Mayor Hanson?
Yes.
Thank you. Mayor Barr?
Yes. So, motion carries.
It will carry, but we need one more vote, I think.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep. We'll pause for a second.
Councilmember Franco?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries 6-1. We'll move on to item 9.3, public hearing of ordinance 20-14, amending chapter 15.12.060 ANC of the Bethel Municipal Code to make explicitly clear that the 10-day deadline to review site plan permit applications does not apply to projects that require state or federal approval, and to remove the four references to tentative approval. That was brought forth by the Planning Commission. I'll open this up for public hearing. There's no one present on the public hearing of ordinance 20-14. I'll close the public hearing, and I will entertain a main motion to adopt 20-14.
So moved.
So moved. Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. As the maker of the motion, Mr. Diamond, you have first debate.
It's clear. It's the ordinance is clearly written and it makes sense. I don't know what the history is. I think there may have been something problematic in the past, but it makes clear that this requirement. So I have no issues with this.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Ms. Hanson?
Yeah, this is laid out very clearly. I just wanted to add a couple things that part of that, what came out of that that presentation by the Army Corps is that some of those site plan permits that people are submitting to the planning office, they get put on a 10-day clock. But if they need additional approval at the federal or state level, they're still on the clock when it's in someone else's court. So then it isn't the planning department holding on to it and not working through it in those 10 days. It's being worked at the federal level with the Army Corps. And so they didn't want people to be penalized, for lack of a better word, or made to think that it was approved when it hadn't finished going through its proper process. Does that make sense? And so that's why that tentatively is being removed, so that people aren't confused and think they can go ahead with their projects when they haven't received all the proper approvals. And so this is just to kind of make it less complicated, less confusing for people who are trying to basically add on to previously, how do I want to put that? Like native vegetation usually around their lot that they're putting new sand into, right? They would need federal approval from the Army Corps. And so this is just to try and streamline that process a bit to help the Corps work with people and not have to send any letters of lack of compliance or what have you and charge people penalties. So it's a way to work better together with the planning department and the Army Corps so that everyone's happier and doing the right thing and that. Hopefully that all made sense. Okay. I feel like I took us on a journey. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Further discussion? And roll call vote, please, to adopt ordinance 20-14.
Councilmember Franco?
Yes.
Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt?
Yes.
Councilmember Dunnett?
Yes.
Mayor Barr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hanson?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance 20-14 passes unanimously. We'll move on to new business. Item 10.1, introduction of ordinance 20-15, amending chapter 4.16 by repealing the alcohol use tax. And that passed on the consent agenda. And we'll move on to 10.2. introduction of ordinance 20-16, clarifying and superseding prior ordinances regarding funding of the YK or the Yukon Custom Fitness Center by requiring 0.5%, 0.5% of all sales tax collected to the city by the city to be held in interest-bearing account used exclusively to fund the development, expansion, and operation of the Yukon Custom Fitness Center. And that passed on the consent agenda. 10.3, introduction of ordinance 20-17, amending Bethel Municipal Code 7.70 to remove absentee in-person voting, establish early voting, and permit the electronic receipt and transmission of ballots in municipal elections. That passed on the consent agenda. Item 10.4, resolution 20-05, acceptance of coronavirus relief funds. That passed on the consent agenda. 10.5, action memorandum 20-22, direct administration to negotiate and execute an agreement with Bethel Community Services Foundation for the use of funds from the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act, CARES Act. That passed on the consent agenda. 10.6, information memorandum 20-07. Presentation of the city waters, water and sewer services expenditures compared to budget from July 1st, 2019 to April 30th, 2020. Utilities maintenance, wastewater and wastewater activity report. That passed on the consent agenda. We'll move on to item number 11.
Mr. Mayor, can we go back to new business action memorandum 22?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we have a council member that wanted to make a statement.
Yeah, Mayor Barr, this is the item that I mentioned I had a conflict with, and I failed to notice at the time this passed on the consent agenda that this was on the consent agenda. I just didn't realize that was one of the items on there. This is actually an item I shouldn't vote on. This is potentially a substantial conflict for me.
Yes, ma'am. So noted.
And for members of the listening public who wonder why, this item is related to the CARES Act and to a partnership with my organization, a potential partnership, a contractual partnership with my employer and the city of Bethel.
And that employer is BCSF.
Correct.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
So I think to cure the situation, it might be a good idea for the council to make a separate vote to approve the action memorandum with the notation that there was a conflict of interest with Liz.
I agree with that.
So, we'll do that. Oh, excuse me. We'll do that. We'll re-vote on the matter.
The motion to approve action number 2022.
Yep. So I would entertain a motion to accept action memorandum 20-22.
Move to accept action memorandum 20-22.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
I'm catching up. I'm sorry. Okay, so
Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
This is action memorandum 20-22. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we get just a little clarification on what the exact intent here is of this? I mean, you look at the action memorandum, and it says less than $8 million, and it says that ECS Foundation is in a position to help the city spend those funds. Can we get a city manager speak to us about what sort of discussions have been held with BCS Foundation and what the overall intent of the action memorandum is?
Please, Mr. Carrazzo.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Barr. So to clarify for Councillor Springer, we have too much money for projects. I was able to do a preliminary budget, and it looks like we could probably do $7 million And that could be flexible too. So I have some remaining money that I would like to punt to BCSF, who is very adept at grant and disseminating funds to the community. So it would be a partnership that we solicit projects and ideas from the community, and they would basically ask for grants, and then we would have BCSF go through their process for accepting, soliciting, screening grants, and then awarding it that will be eligible for CARES Act. My preliminary budget has some money for a new EOC center, some money for public safety reimbursements, and PPEs and that kind of stuff that we will try to formalize and give back to the council for final adoption and approval. But to get there, we would need a vehicle to solicit those projects and kind of brainstorm and come up with ways to spend this money completely. Mr. Mayor? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just a couple of additional questions. Do you anticipate a, let me take this thing off. Do you anticipate a fairly detailed agreement with Beth Community Services Foundation as what the scope of their, you know, work would be with the city, what their profit margin would be? Are they going to be, you know, an administrative fee for providing these services to the city? And maybe after you answer that, I guess I might want to inquire of council, Ms. Bacalar, whether an arrangement like this would, whether the city's procurement policies and ordinances would have any implications for this sort of an arrangement.
Councilmember Springer, this is Libby. I can certainly take a look at that. I don't know that it would if there is no money being exchanged. You know, I don't know what money the city is paying. I don't think there's any money anticipated to be paid to the Community Foundation for this service. Less than, let me just take a look at this here. I'd have to take a closer look at that question. I would want to research that issue. I didn't honestly did not think of that. I don't know that it invokes the procurement code. I'd want to take a closer look at that. It didn't occur to me that it would, but I can take a closer look at that question.
Mr. Mayor? So as I recall, the council, we are still under the 60-day emergency declaration, and the council has given the city manager powers of procurement when it relates to COVID-19. So this would be, if there was a fee, the city will pay with CARES Act funding to Bethel Community Services and waive rules of procurement.
Okay, and Mr. Mayor, just for the record, I want to say that I'm not opposed to this action memorandum, and I'm just having a very large amount of money, a fairly unique way of trying to spend it, and I'm just, you know, trying to engage for transparency. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Diamond,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So I speak in favor of this as well. I think Mr. Smith's questions were reasonable. But, I mean, we're just asking the administration to begin discussions with BCSF to see if they can help. I want this COVID money to help as many people as possible. And we have and I've worried about whether, and through no one's fault, but whether our city can handle dispersing those funds properly and to the greatest number of people most effectively. And I think having BCSF assist, giving administration direction to begin working with them on that is reasonable. And I assume that you would come back to us with that agreement. So I would want him to get to work on this, and we look at it when it comes back.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, this is Libby. If I might just add to that, there is a grant agreement template that we've been working with a little bit and that city manager has seen, and that is similar to, this is an arrangement that's similar to other municipalities in the state with their counterparts, their community foundations, and I've been working with them and the Foraker group to get those grant agreement templates worked out, like Mr. Councilmember Dimet suggested. And further, I think I do agree that it would fall under the emergency procurement piece. If there was a procurement issue implicated here, I'm not sure that there is, but just for your information, we have that template in progress.
Thank you, Ms. McElar. Ms. Franco.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask Michelle a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Michelle, would you mind just reviewing how this grant process might go, what you have in mind, if it would be something similar to what you currently have in place for COVID, or if you've even thought that far ahead. Thank you.
I think maybe Mr. Witt would.
Over down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you declared a conflict, so you want it. I think it puts Councilmember DeWitt in a bad spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just to protect you.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, she has declared a conflict. Really shouldn't even be in the room, to be perfectly honest, or shouldn't be sitting up here at the dais for the discussion, and certainly be inappropriate to address questions to her. There may be an opportunity through the manager, as this thing fleshes out, to get that information, but she has rightfully said that she's got a conflict of interest on this, and it was recognized by the mayor, and
so
she should be a participant in the discussion.
Thank you. So noted. Ms. Franco, no. Not at this time.
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Cleary?
Could, through the mayor to our city manager, could you describe a little more in depth what we are? I know we still have the town hall meeting coming up, I believe that's still going forward, but if you could describe what you guys have, seriously thought about putting this money towards so far. Thanks.
Mr. Carrazza.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Barr. So, Councilor Leary, what I kind of envision is a sort of brainstorming session on the 18th, where you have the community, individuals, businesses, nonprofits come to the forum. If they haven't, submitted feedback already, they would come and sort of pitch ideas, learn about the process of grant making, of projects and programs to submit through the BCSF for screening, for prioritization. And then after that, we would we'd come up with a list of projects and programs that would meet the $8.4 million threshold, and then after that we come back to council, and just like we did the budget session, you would have the final say in either you veto a program or not. That's kind of how I'm envisioning. The part that goes to BCSF is the big unknown. I know what the administration needs and could possibly be eligible for the CARES Act. I do know that about $3 million of it will go back to the city's general fund for public safety. And I'm estimating that we would probably need $3.5 million for a new emergency operations center building, and also to operate it if there's a big spike in COVID cases that we need, 24-hour or full-time activation of the EOC. The rest, I really don't have money or projects and programs allocated for that. So it's the remainder, less than $8.4 million, that I would just like to say, BCSF, here are the criteria that we'd like you to have. It's got to be COVID-related. It's got to be spent before December 30th. Go ahead and go through your machine and get recipients on board to spend this money. Councilor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions, comments?
Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Franco.
Just trying to clarify, Vinny, you said on the 18th, is that when we're having our retreat? I thought we were focusing more on bigger picture items, not that COVID is not a big picture, but I thought we were planning more like having a future planning meeting to talk about things like water and sewage, our plans for the city, et cetera. Is it now just going to be COVID related?
Mr. City Manager.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Barr. So, Councilor Franco, the June 18th, 10 a.m. at the ONC Multipurpose is Just Cares Act brainstorming projects, filtering discussions, educational forum. And then the night of June 18th is the City Council special meeting for strategic overall city discussion. Answer your question? Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Roll call vote on action memorandum 20-22, please.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Diamond.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor Barr.
Yes. Motion carries 6-0. And we were up to item number 11. We did item 10.6. We're at item number 11. 11.1, the mayor's report. I don't really have anything to report. And we'll move on over to the city manager's report, item 11.2. Mr. Carrazza.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Barr. So I have some handouts. These are my talking points. I essentially just read it. Just for the public that won't have these handouts or online, I uploaded it to our city's website. If you want to, it's under the city's website. You would have to click on government and then departments and divisions tab. And then under administration page, there is a file called City Council City Manager's Report Talking Points. And you can follow online. I essentially just read this, but for the councilors here, I'll pass this around. The procedure is city clerk, or do you want me to give everybody? And one for you.
Thanks, Lori.
Yeah.
Okay. So in addition to the city manager's report submitted in the council packet, I have four items to report to the council. They include one, the taxi single ride coupon. Two is personnel appointments. Three is the June 18th CARES Act public forum. Four is the July 4th driving parade. So taxi single ride coupon for elders. As previewed in my verbal report on May 26th, administration will be rolling out a single ride coupon for elders starting on June 15th, 2020 until October 31st, 2020, elders, exemption card holders can come to City Hall. They can purchase, or it's a deposit, a $4, $6, or $10 coupon for face value. These are the discounted elder fares as found in Bethel Municipal Code 5.20.050. The coupon holders gives the coupon to the taxi drivers who has agreed to not pick up additional passengers on that trip. And in my pocket is an example of a voucher or a coupon that they could purchase and give to the driver. We are ordering these as I speak. Do you want to give those out or show people? I got another example here, John. That you can, it's got front and back to it. If if you can stick this right in front of the iPad camera. Does that work, Lori? Just kind of stick it right in front of the iPad camera for the...
I mean, no, I
they
think...
don't see it.
No,
you don't share the video?
Here. Are you trying to let Haley see?
There's a... Yeah, for the online live Zoom video. It doesn't work? Okay. So... Okay. For the folks. These are being ordered. I just print out the proof and we kind of for visual aid. So the taxi companies turn in these coupons at the end of the month for their face value, which is the deposit, plus 3 times the face value from CARES Act funds. So it's essentially 4 times the face value. The 3 times face value is essentially the city buying up the 3 empty seats in a typical ride share taxi operation. So this is why an elder can pretty much guarantee that the ride will be by himself or herself. Next up is personnel appointments. So this week is Acting Police Chief Amy Davis's last week of employment with the city. Therefore, I am working with her to learn and transition into the acting police chief position on an administrative capacity, not operational function. This would mean I would serve 4 roles, city manager, emergency operations center director, acting finance director, and acting police chief. This would be way too much on my plate. Therefore, as of Monday, I've appointed John Sargent to be the acting finance director. He has been with the city for 16 years. He holds 2 master's degrees, one of which is an MBA. After a trial period, if Mr. Sargent fits with the acting appointment, enjoys it, and wants to make it permanent, then I will come back to council for a confirmation to make it official. Otherwise, if I or he doesn't find the arrangement fitting, he can go back to his old job as grant manager, and we will recruit externally. We also have a temporary grant management and manager assistant position advertised, and purchasing agent duties have been reassigned to IT director Bo Foley. Number 3 is June 18th CARES Act public forum. As indicated on the agenda items 10.4 and 10.5, the city council has approved receiving the CARES Act funding, as well as direct administration work with the Bethel Community Services Foundation to solicit projects and programs and administer these funds to the community. So on June 18th, we will have a public forum at the ONC Multipurpose Building starting at 10 a.m. Thank you, ONC, for making this venue available. We are currently soliciting public comments and ideas. There's a survey out for businesses on the city's website and an email for the community to provide feedback. The email address is cares@cityofbethel.net.
And I'm sorry that I'm getting emotional.
Kudos to City Clerk Lori Strickler.
But it's sad, and I'm upset. And I wish more people were upset like me, too.
After the June 18th public forum, Alaska Municipal League,
we need a riot. We need to be upset. I'm sorry, that's not right.
And or others will work together.
We need to be upset. We need to fucking stand up for those who can.
For the proposed project or program.
And yell.
I might kind of go in and out.
Black Lives Matter!
We will then submit the budget and spending plan for council to approve in July, and then forward that onto the state for review/approval/filing. The last item I have for council is the July 4th driving parade. Due to the COVID-19, we will not have a mass carnival event at Pickett Park like we have in the previous years. After internal staff discussion, getting feedback from the COVID-19 task force, as well as the Parks, Recreation, Aquatics, Health and Safety Center Committee, administration is pursuing a 4th of July driving parade as the event of the holiday. In-car activities have been green-lighted by the state of Alaska as COVID-friendly, i.e. drive-in church services, graduation driving parades, and parking ceremonies. The routes of the parade are being formulated, and I hope to have several alternatives for public feedback soon. Participants just need to register with the city and get a contestant number that they can display externally on the vehicle or float. We hope to have a judging event of the best float or vehicle with monetary prizes for first, second, third, honorable mentions. And the point of contact for this event will be Charlie Dan in Public Works, who did a fantastic job last year.
We can talk a little.
This ends my report. Back to you, Mr. Mayor.
So I'm a reporter at KYUK.
Thank you, Mr. Carraza. Any questions for the city manager, Mr. Springer?
I was just wondering, you know, what are you hoping happens from these protests? Why are you here?
Bring up with Public Works.
Everybody's hoping for a change, but
every year it appears that we
it's just a lot to
fire hydrants. And
to change, it's more than just the people, though. I mean, it's great that everyone's coming together to try to make a change, but
text here from a
resident. I've seen this a lot. I just don't.
Yukon Court.
It's just very difficult.
So there's a fire hydrants are hanging on
over and over again, and no justice being served. And that's all people ever. Most people is.
The constituent called me up. They live at 535 Yukon Court. They
hopefully
bought the house.
This time things will change, until we see anything.
The hydrant is right behind their house.
I think
tested last
it's
year.
It's gonna have to do more than
constituent seems to think that summer hire.
Sounds like you're not super optimistic.
Well, that's because it's happened plenty of times before.
Public Works.
Nothing has come of it. It's not that I'm not optimistic. It's just that.
And several hundred, a lot of
this isn't the first time this occurred.
And what happens is it.
No response.
As we saw. As we saw this spring.
I mean, well, yeah, I love everyone. I would love everyone to
not quite level pieces of
ground. Not see race.
Don't go well together.
None of that matters. None of that ever matters, but some people don't see it that way.
Put water on the ground that might be causing the problems with their
Gary Howard
foundation. Aren't saying that for me, but
it's GARRY
with them.
Howard is HOWARD.
Test the hydrants. Crack them open. How long they're left open?
Not very many black men here.
They weren't clearing the liners. It looks like they
does that make you feel any kind of way here?
No,
make sure it's working.
I've been here 5 years, so it's different when you see someone new that's African American here.
You can take a look at that. I'd appreciate it.
Kind of like uplifting for sure.
I know the constituents
but
there.
But I never had any
report. Have you
hardcore problems here? Like, make me feel uncomfortable. But everywhere you go,
have you
as an African American, someone's gonna look at you crazy or say something under their breath. I mean, I'm 28, so I've been dealing with this since I was a kid. But in Bethel, I haven't really had any problems with that. Luckily,
police officer. Very
are you saying that?
Definition.
You have had less issues being black in Bethel than other places.
Correct. That's very correct.
Certainly wouldn't want
for sure.
Untoward.
Really? Well said.
During the time of year that
I don't know because I've learned that
guess who's gonna be
with the native culture. A lot of them
so I would recommend
don't
that
really
you
see that
you
and
or
don't really know in detail what it is. Or have experienced it because some of them, not all of them, most of them have never really left the Delta. So
and not
that's
having
fully
any,
understandable, though.
Operational
it's good that they don't see color. Most don't. Some do, but that's people in general anyway. So,
and
I love it here.
Now, I've heard from
the
talking today and other days to
I'm just a little
solidarity with the black community because they
concerned
have also,
process-wise
you know
about
in
your
and
that's correct
and stuff like that.
That's correct.
Nothing on
feel that kind of solidarity
John or on you
for
the,
same
the way you describe the way
yeah,
that
I can agree
because
I mean there's different things. That's what I'm saying. It's not
did,
just one
did
person.
The HR director read this paragraph
and then
in here and,
when things happen,
and again,
they all
it's strict,
everyone
it's
gets treated as a whole.
I mean, we do have a way to hire and fill positions.
It's pretty good that.
And I just want to make sure that
this is happening and hoping for a change. But
so you don't need to answer.
We'll
any
see.
Just wanted to.
Yeah,
for
make,
sure.
You know,
all right.
my thoughts.
Thanks for talking to
me. Thanks,
nice to meet you, man. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. We have the HR director here, if you'd like to
and
ask that question.
The law enforcement knows
no,
that
that's fine.
It doesn't matter about what kind of race,
so
where you come from.
And we don't have with hiring.
Just
so I'm just
something that needs to be done.
To make sure that
our voice needs to be heard.
Process,
we can't be silent anymore. And
thank you, Mr. Springer. Any other questions for the city manager? Ms.
Just
Cleary?
Need to be heard.
Through the mayor, for Mr. Carraza. So I just wanted to clarify on the taxi vouchers for elders that they would have to.
All right, Patrick, do you want to talk logistics?
All the purchasing, there will be no money exchange in the cab. That they purchase everything prepaid.
I just want to go over a little bit of the logistics with everyone before we continue. We've contacted the police department, and they're aware we're here, and they're happy that we're out here. The state troopers are here too, and we're glad that they're here and showing their support. We contacted the fire department to let you know that they would very much appreciate if, when we march, and I'll tell you that order in a minute, when we walk past the fire department, if we could move out of their driveway as quick as we could and just be as swift as we can in the event of any fires in Bethel. So, at the end of everybody giving an opportunity to talk here, we will be marching down to Watson's Corner. We're going to walk down there about 6 o'clock. We'll hold our signs and we'll speak our truth. When we walk down there, we would really appreciate if nobody stood in the road and we let everybody drive home and get to where they need to be. We're going to try to not block any roads, and when we get down there, just give each other space, keep your mask on, respect other space, protest peacefully, and that's it. I'm here to listen, and I'm happy all of you attended.
Rightfully said, this is too much on your plate to have so many acting.
Thank you, Patrick. Can I invite Tiffany Zarkowski up here, please? She does a land acknowledgement.
Like you know, the manager of an entity take on so many.
So good to see everybody after not seeing anybody for a long time.
I worry that we just
wanted to take a moment today to acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Yupik and Tupik people.
That we gather
today, understanding that those lands were not given freely, and we appreciate the opportunity to gather peacefully. And
that you're getting spread
really
a little
advocate
too thin,
for healing and for equity.
That,
so thank you,
you know,
everyone
I,
for being
I,
here today.
Yes, I was hoping we would look into, you know,
thank
contract,
you, Tiffany. Robert,
finance,
would you like to say a few
if
words?
We have a contract finance director, or you know, if we what the options are with
yes,
that.
Yes, thank
I was
you very much for coming out.
More about that.
And Patrick for working on organizing this, and we didn't know how many people would
I
show.
Know. I guess I don't have
obviously
another question.
Obviously, it's pretty last
we
minute, and
talk
this
more
is
about
the showing. So it says something about this town. City.
Any other comments?
So I appreciate your presence.
This is
We also appreciate the presence of state troopers who were here with us
ahead.
Today.
Hi, yeah, I had a couple questions. One is about this voucher system. Is that I know we talked about in the past
myself,
having some kind of voucher
for and I think it's really important for us to recognize the challenges that they face and their work.
Wants to safely ride in a cab without other people, whether they have underlying health concerns
right now, but I think it's
or are just a normal citizen
we
who
have
has
that
concerns
about
the pandemic
and have them as part of that conversation.
So I'm just kind of wondering what options
that's
are for people
here
there.
The memory of George
and
Floyd.
Also,
and
does that mean that elders would have to come into City Hall between the hours
murdered.
8 and 5? And if they didn't
that's
get the correct number
today.
Of vouchers at
so
that time,
I think there's a
they wouldn't be
the
able to ride alone in a cab.
This is the start
and
of a conversation.
And if they decided to take a cab after 5 and hadn't gotten one, they'd have to wait till the next day.
So thank you so
I'm
much.
I'm just
for
like,
today.
I don't know. I just have a lot of questions that. About this, and I was hoping
and
maybe you could shed some light
ahead.
On
thank
it.
You.
Thanks.
Mr. Carraza.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you,
now we're
Mayor
going to
Warren
take
and Vice Mayor Hansen
for 8 minutes and
44
seconds in memory
of possibility
George
of
Floyd.
Abuse. We've thought about it, and the
starting
probably best way of doing it is having the elder come into City Hall from 10 to 2 when we're open and present their elder card, and then we would take the number and write it on the back of their vouchers. That way, when we give it to the elder, that is the elder's. They can't, it's not blank, they can't just give it away or other people come in and get these vouchers. So it, there is a thought process that we've went through, and this is the best solution that we've come up with. So yeah, the scenario you had mentioned that the elder, you know, at 5 o'clock, they don't have a coupon, then they would pay the regular fare and hope that the driver doesn't pick up additional passengers on their way. I think I do believe in the KYUK article that the Cusco cab owner mentions that some of the passengers have been asking for, I think a charter rate or a single fare. And he was saying that's not sustainable, that the taxi industry would go bankrupt using that model. So I think the way that we've got it, elders should come to the City Hall to purchase these coupons.
Because to me, I understand that, and I understand this is tricky, but to me what it sounds like it benefits is it benefits the cab company, and it benefits making it easier on the city. And what we're supposed to be doing is making it easier on elders in the community and people who have underlying health issues or people who just want to be safe, and cabs are the way they get around. And so I don't know if this is something that's been kicked out to the Transportation Committee to come up with another solution. I have a lot of concerns about that because it seems quite limiting. Between the hours of 10 and 2, make sure you think ahead all your cabs. Do you have enough money at the time to get you through the weekend, to get enough vouchers? It just seems like a lot to put on people when we have $8 million in COVID relief money. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe we can kick that to Transportation Committee if it already hasn't, to try and come up with something, I think, a little more sustainable too, because we're going to have something that gets us through at least January. So.
Vice Mayor Hansen. Any additional ideas on top of this is welcome. The budget and spending plan for CARES Act isn't set. I just wanted to roll this out as quickly as we can, because the ride sharing system came back May 24th, and I did have concerns of the elders and the high risk sharing the taxi with other riders. So I wanted to roll this out June 1, but we'd like to roll it out with elders first, because it's an easy, if you have an elders exemption card, it's a way for us to verify that you are a high risk group. And then later on, if we are, if this process runs well as it's intended, we could roll it out to the high risk health groups. Come in with a doctor's note that says you have some issues, and we could print out new coupons for the regular fares and roll it out to that group. And then we can look at it again and say, well, what if anybody else in the community that is concerned, is it eligible for CARES Act reimbursement? So initially, I ran this idea through the city attorney. She looked at it and analyzed, is this defensible? Is this COVID expense? And we found out, because elders is high risk group, that we can defend this as a eligible CARES Act reimbursement.
And I'll just ask that you even said it in this last statement that people would have to come in with a doctor's note. And I just ask that the administration and us as a council be wary of the number of barriers we put between people and trying to act in a publicly healthy way during this time. And so I just want us to keep that in mind moving forward, that putting more hurdles in front of people is not the way to protect them. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Ms. Franco was first. Ms. Diamond.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Just want to make a quick comment. This has already been said, but just voicing my concern. Nothing personal, but I wonder if the finance director position has been posted, and if we were able to find any candidates. I understand the benefit of promoting within, but I also have seen how chaotic things can get in the finance department, how we are in really dire need for people with accounting and finance experience, especially in governmental accounting, and the importance of that experience to really, I think, make a difference in that department, and so that is my concern. Additionally, if someone were to step into that position of grants manager, I just know personally the grants that I'm managing at work require a lot of reporting for COVID, and a lot of things are very specific, and seeing the huge influx in grants that we're receiving through COVID, that would also concern me to have turnover in that position. Not saying that these candidates won't be able to do their job. I would just like to see candidates with more experience. That concerns me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, I just want to thank the city manager for his work on the elder fair, and we've talked about it before, and I'm glad that, although, and I mentioned before, I mean, I hope that we can expand it over time, the people's other pre-existing conditions. We're going to have to look at the legality. I'm sure we can do that. Opening it up to anybody, I'm not sure if we can, but just getting it moving now would make me feel better. Because we've already had 3 weeks of elders in crowded conditions in the cabs and stuff. So I just want to get it moving and let's look to see if we can expand it. If we can, we do. You know, if we can't, we don't. But we, there are lots of things to worry about. And I mean, I worked for an agency here in town which bought cab tickets, cab vouchers. There was often misuse of them and stuff. And that happens. So I just want to thank you to get moving on this, and we'll seek to make it better, but let's get going right now.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Mr. Springer.
Mr. Mayor, on an entirely unrelated topic, I was contacted by another constituent today on the Feely's Pizza situation. We had some discussion about this at the last council meeting. I've discussed a little bit with Backlar. I haven't spoken with you about it. I also spoke to staff at the AMCO office. The people of Bethel voted local option. We only allow, under the local option election, we only allow the sale of alcoholic beverages by food and beverage holding licensees. There's one in Bethel. Because of the emergency regulations that were implemented by the ABC board and the basically the behest of the governor, liquor stores and beverage serving establishments were permitted to, you know, do curbside delivery and home delivery. It's my understanding from AMCO that based on our vote, all it would take is a phone call from the manager to AMCO saying, you know, we, the city of Bethel believes that their emergency permit to engage in curbside sales is out of compliance with our local option vote. There isn't really, as our council has suggested in the past, that there may be a conflict between
I'd now like to invite Beverly Hoffman up here to say a few
words. Under Title IV to go with local option. So I would like one or two things to happen. Either A, the manager take it upon himself.
That was so powerful.
Chief law enforcement officer of the city of Bethel. Notify AMCO and remind them that in fact
he couldn't
the people
breathe.
Voted for local option for a to allow
murder
food and beverage licenses
was
in town.
The
we only have one.
For
but
many of us,
they're operating under the terms by the number of the emergency of black permitting men action and women. By ABC
killed in this country.
Flies in the face of that. And based on that phone call, that permit can be rescinded. If that can't happen, then, Mr. Mayor, I would
2014,
speak with a couple of my fellow council members
and the killing
try to get
Michael
a
Brown,
special meeting
Ferguson,
fairly quickly
Missouri,
to get some sense of the council to make direction on that.
Culminating
so,
in black
thank you, Mr.
Matters.
Springer.
There's been
any further comments for the city manager? I'm sorry, Ms. Strickler?
Yeah, I would actually
since
like to
2015, almost all of the people shot and killed by police were men. Enough already! As a mother and an elder, My heart is hurting for George Floyd's family.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just concurring with that.
I cry!
City Attorney Malice some weeks ago about that issue and her suggestion.
For
well,
all the families who lost their loved ones in this manner.
And I think that's better.
It starts
harder
with
for
us.
But better for the public to have their representatives.
Your children.
Debating that. Deciding if they want to follow a protest.
Of all people. Teach them
thanks
to be kind.
Thank
teach
you for the
them to be strong.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor,
voices.
If I may just jump in here to
racism,
clarify
racism.
That, all of that a little bit.
Tell them
both
about
Title IV and the municipal code do seem to require council action for any sort of protest or objection to
tell
the board. The Title
IV
and the BMC both use the word council repeatedly in terms of complaining to
tell
the board. However, there are,
and
as I also spoke with Council Member Springer, I think I've spoken with
now.
Several council members individually about this issue over the past
in
couple
the words
weeks.
Of Barack Obama,
there are inspection and enforcement recourses within administration that, they are allowed, the administration's
to
allowed
together.
To, go out there and investigate.
We
and see if the license is being complied with or not, report back to the council. But it's fairly clear to me that the council, and I did attempt to contact James Fulcher at the ABC
thank you, Beth.
Board and didn't
and
end
like
up returning
Adam
my
London
call. But based on my reading of the code and the statutes, I think it, formal complaint to the board or, that a certain licensee is violating the terms of its license or taking advantage of a loophole in there. I do think would likely require council
Black Lives
consensus,
Matter.
And the administration's
George
role would be to
Floyd's
sort of investigate those allegations
matter.
And report to the
Breonna
council.
Breonna Taylor's
action.
Life
so that was my
matter.
Take on the code.
Ahmaud Arbery's life mattered. Tamir Rice's life mattered.
Any other comments?
Trayvon Martin's life mattered.
Yeah.
Eric Gardner's life matter.
That if we are going to go that route,
that is just a few of the many names
and notified
of black lives
in the work
that matter.
Recently they
black
stated a
lives
article
matter.
That no one has complained to them
and they matter because we have
them,
a creator that created them good
bounds,
with the image of God inside of them.
So I would just hope that the city would
they should be with us still today on this earth.
Thank you.
And our hearts lament. Our hearts cry out.
Mr. Carranza.
Because their lives
you,
matter.
To respond to Council, the
and we cry out and we lament because we are in
Friday
a country
kind of
where justice is
I've
broken.
That,
we are in a country where there
law.
Is a history of systemic oppression
kind of, action,
of white supremacy that,
to pursue that
has broken our nation.
Yeah.
Everything from the
thank you,
genocide
Brother.
Of Native American people to the Japanese internment camps to slavery
the city manager?
To black lynching in the lower 48.
If someone would like to sponsor
our hearts hurt and cry
Mary
out
speak,
because our nation
like
is broken.
Yeah.
Our nation is broken and it should not be so.
The rules to,
it should not be so. I am here out here today as an Asian man who is married to a Native woman and we believe that black lives matter. We share just a little bit of the story that black people have to live every single day. We especially here in Bethel in Western Alaska, we share a little bit of their story, knowing that it's not just the black community that is at highest risk for police brutality, for being unfairly arrested and incarcerated, but we also know that it is the Native community that also has some of those highest rates. We share a little bit of their story, and yet it is also a different story that black lives matter. that black that the black community has to go through every single day. And I'm here because I don't want my children to grow up in a world where they have to be afraid, where they don't have to be afraid of racism. I want them to be in growing up in a community, in a world where they are safe, they feel safe, they never have to fear. And I'm so thankful that here in Bethel we have law enforcement here with us today. I'm thankful that you are here. I'm thankful that I, as an Asian man, can feel safe when I see a policeman here in Bethel. I'm thankful that my Native family can feel safe when they see police and law enforcement here in Bethel. We thank you for that. But that is not the case for all. Black lives matter. And there are so many in the black community that do not feel safe when they go out into everyday life. And so we are here because we lament, we cry out with them. We cry out that black lives matter. But I'm here today as a father and as a husband and as a pastor because I believe there is hope. I believe there is hope that we can live in that world where my children grow up and they don't have to face that racism that has broken our nation. And so I was asking God earlier for a word to speak. And
issues like this.
I was led to the book of Habakkuk. For we are not the first people to cry out that there is such injustice and brokenness in the world. And we can look at the Bible. For those of us that are Jesus followers, we can look at the Bible. We can look at the book of Habakkuk. And we can see that there were people for thousands of years that cried out to God because of injustice. And so we ask, how long, O Lord? We echo the cry of Habakkuk the prophet. How long, O Lord, must we call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteousness so that justice is perverted. Does that sound like us today? These were the words of Habakkuk thousands of years ago. He continues on. Your eyes, this is he's continuing to speak later on in chapter 113. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by exhortation. How long must this go on? We cry out, how long must this go on? How long must we face this injustice? How long? But I am here today as a father and a husband and as a pastor because I believe that together, when we rise up, when we speak, that there is hope. For those of us that are Jesus followers, as I am a pastor, we are taught to pick up our cross and follow him. Though we share a little bit of the story of the black community, we do not share the whole story. But we want to stand up and speak. Hate wins when good people are silent. Hate wins when we see other people as the enemy. Hate wins when we do nothing. And that's why we are here today, because we are crying out, how long, O Lord? And we are going to stand up and speak. We are going to stand up as one and walk together. So I've been asked to pray for the Floyd family and to pray for us as we begin. I invite you to join me. Dear Father God, I thank you that you hear our cries. Lord, how long we lament, we hurt. This should not be so.
Man, everybody's just like working their
Lord, just as George Floyd's family is crying out to you, we cry out to you. Lord, we pray for peace and comfort for them this day. Lord, we pray for strength. Lord, as they speak out, as they speak out against injustice, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us as this group here, Lord, that we would continue to speak out to injustice in a way that leads to healing, into a way that leads to a world where our children do not have to be afraid. Lord, where truly Black lives matter, not just to us that are gathered here, but to our very nation, to those who are making policies in this nation, Lord, that you would help them to realize Black lives matter. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to know what it means to be a redeemed people because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that we can pick up the cross and we can say no more. No more injustice for you. You have come to this world to bring justice, Lord. Help us to be your instruments for justice today and give comfort to the Floyd family, to those who are hurting because of this tragedy, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Please wear them. Don't take them off, take pictures.
Thank you, Adam. All right, we are going to start marching now. The course, the route will be from here to Watson's Corner and back. We will pause for maybe 5 minutes at Watson's Corner. Please respect those around you and maintain social distance as best you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Very kind words of encouragement. Ms. Franco.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Make my few comments. Other comments earlier today. There's a lot in our country and as far as social justice. Unfortunately, I think we have really got
My mom sent me a box of like 30 from Korea, and they're very used to, I don't know, it's so common, like they perfected the technique of making.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions about this
kind of stuff? Or to contact
I was wondering, do you feel like this is about standing in solidarity with, you know, the Black community, or do you think this is also about, you know, the Alaska Native communities' injustice at the hands of police?
The today's event, I think it's hard to speculate what bring people together to demonstrate in situations like this. You know, I know for myself, like Adam was saying, there's a lot of disproportionality that we see across the state, across the country. And so, you know, whether solidarity is what brings people out today, whether it's they have loved ones that they know have experienced things firsthand, whether it's also showing up because of the inequity of Alaska Natives in representation or just people of color in general, I think those are all important reasons.
Mm-hmm. How about for you?
For me, it's all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, not as we think about Alaska Native men, they're disproportionately imprisoned more than their non or their Caucasian counterparts, and in and they make up such a smaller percentage. And we see those sort of systemic, you know, we call it disproportionality, but what it really is systemic inequity. So, you know, lack of resources and representation that's able to bring about the type of equity and justice. And so, you know, it's the unjust killing of George Floyd. It's for all of the black lives, but it's also for all people of color who experience that.
And again, I'm not going to ask you to talk on behalf of other people, but for yourself, do the events of George Floyd and, you know, this Black Lives Matter movement resonate with you because you're Alaska Native and because Alaska Natives are also disproportionately, unjustly...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, speaking as, you know, currently I'm the only Alaska Native woman in the entire state legislature, and even speaking out in support of establishing a tribal affairs committee meets great resistance. And that's just to have discourse and dialogue about policy issues. So if we're seeing that type of resistance at a very superficial level, the type of systemic inequity that we experience firsthand, whether it's myself personally or people that I know and love, is definitely happening. And I think, as people have mentioned today, a lot of what this murder has highlighted is great pain and the fact that these wounds are deep and they're real.
Do you see any policy things happening in the state legislature as a result of this, or are you interested in, you know, pushing that forward?
I'm definitely interested in pushing that forward. You know, unfortunately, the global pandemic that we're in has slowed progress that we can make in having conversations about policy, but we were making great progress in getting the state of Alaska to finally recognize federally recognized tribes. You know, when it comes to equity work, it's hard work. It's people having to deal with deep-seated beliefs and issues, and it can be painful, but is really important to do, and I hope we can continue to make progress, and I hope that the resistance and the demonstrations that are happening across the country will elevate this conversation in a way that makes real change.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about equity in general for tribes and Alaska Native people. Is there anything specific for, like, police brutality policies that can prevent those kinds of things, specifically with between police and minorities?
I think that it's hard right now to think about you know, what specifically that looks like. You know, in the legislature, we see that in terms of equity of funding, equity of opportunity, bringing people to the table, you know, people wanting fair policies and practices. You know, things that come to mind are tribal consultation and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we should be doing. And I think today and all of the demonstrations across the country are just really starting the conversation.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Nice to meet you finally.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. And are you in town for very long?
For the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future, okay. That's fine, I got no problem. I don't know what's going on in Juneau and stuff, but...
That's my motion, Mr.
Okay, great. Second. Good luck with that.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. We're now in executive session at 9:01, and I would suggest that we maybe take 5 for a quick break. And
let me get KYUK's coverage of Bethel City Council will resume after executive session.
Thank you.